So let us begin with a brief introduction to the halachos of malabim, and then we'll jump right into the some of the nitty-gritty details. So let's just begin with the av malacha. So I don't know how many of you were able to print out the makor sheet or if you have it available, but the famous Mishnah in Shabbos on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph tells us that there are 39 malachos on Shabbos, right? This is something the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us amazingly, that there are certain areas of Torah where there's a tremendous amount of material. Right, we're about to read Tazria Mitzorah, and there's going to be psukim and psukim and psukim about all the different nigoyim of Tzaras. And yet when it comes to Shabbos, you have a pasuk here, you have a pasuk there, and yet we know that Shabbos has so many halachos. So there are 39 malachos of Shabbos, and the Mishnah enumerates them, and one of them is Hamelabno. Right, if you take a look at the Makor sheet, source number one, Hagozes at Semer, Hamelabno. So this is the second malacha in the procedure, the process of preparing, creating garments. We know that of the 39 malachos, they're broken into groups. So there's the Sidur de Pas, which is the process of making bread. And another one of the processes, that each step of that process is a malacha, is the preparation of garments. So it begins with Gozes at Semer, which is shearing the animal, the sheep, to get the wool off of the sheep. And the second step in that process, which is a malacha, is malabim. Now, when did they use this in the Mishkan? Because we know all the malachos of Shabbos were used in the Mishkan. So they would take the wool in order to be able to create the different fabrics that were needed in the Mishkan. So what did they do with the wool? They would take the wool after it was sheared from the sheep. Now, wool, you think of wool, and you think of this very soft, clean, white material. But that's not what it looks like when it comes off of the sheep, right? The sheep has been living outside in the mud, in the rain, in the thorns. So when you take off the wool is filled with oil and dirt and impurities. So what they used to do is they would take a big basket that has holes in it so water can go through it. They would fill the basket with the wool, and then they would dip it into the river and hold it under the stream of the water. The river would pass through the wool. It would remove the impurities because it was in a basket, so the wool wouldn't all be washed away. And they would bring it in and out of the water in order to remove the impurities. And that's what Rashi says there on the Mishnah, Michab so binahar. So according to Rashi, the av malacha of melabein is to wash tzemer, to wash the wool, Michab so binahar. If you take a look at the Rambam, so the Rambam defines things a little bit differently. The Rambam, first of all, I guess we should ask the question, what does the word malabim mean in Hebrew? So malabim doesn't really mean to clean, certainly not in modern Hebrew. Malabim means to bleach, to whiten, right? You see the source of the word there is the lashon of lavan, to make something white, to bleach it. This is what the Rambam writes. If you look in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Tes, so in the source sheet, you have Halacha Yud there, Yud Aleph, but you have to begin really with Halacha Yud, what's not in the source sheet. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam says, Perek Tes, HaMelabein es atzemer, o apishtim, o ashani, person who bleaches, or is malabein, let's say, wool, v'chein kol kiyotzi behen, yurchayiv. Now we come to Halacha Yud Aleph. Hamechabes bigodim, harehu told us malabin b'chayiv. Someone who washes is doing a tolda, meaning the av malacha is seemingly malabin, to bleach. And if you look in the Yerushalmi on the Mishnah and Shabbos says that explicitly. The Yerushalmi there says that it means to use gopharis, to use chemicals in order to bleach the wool. So while for Rashi, the Av Malacha is to wash it, to be mechabes, to launder it, according to the Rambam, the Av Malacha is not to launder, the Av Malacha is to bleach. Now, there are other differences between the Rambam and Rashi. Rashi says to be mechabes in the Nahar, he's talking about the raw wool. For the Rambam, the Av Malacha is to be malabing the raw wool, and the Tolda is to launder garments. Now, garments are already processed. So that's another distinction here between the Av and the Tolda. The Av seems to be more focused on the raw material, and the Tolda seems to be more focused on materials that have already been processed into clothing to launder them. But the truth is, this is really a little bit of an academic debate. Why? Because many of us remember from the beginning of Maseches Bava Kamma, where it says that there are arba avos nezikin, and the Gemara says, avos mechlal deika toldos. If there's an av, there must be a child, there must be a tolda. And the Gemara there says that both an av and a tolda are both asur medioraisa. Sometimes people make that mistake. They think an av is in a dioraisa, and a tolda is a dirabonon. Toldas are also dioraisas. You chayav chatos for a tolda, just like you are for an av. So the Gemara asks, so then what's the difference between an av and a tolda? So the Gemara has possible nafgamina. First of all, maybe the av was exactly the way it was done in the Mishkan, and the tolda is just similar, but it's not the way it was done in the Mishkan. There might be nafgaminas for hasra. You can perhaps give hasra on the tolda with the name of the av when you're warning someone about doing the isser, but you couldn't do it the other way. There might be some nafgamina. But lemaisa, for halacha, whether you're bleaching something, whether you're just washing it, laundering it, that's going to be a malacha dioraisa of malabe. How do we define the av now that we, or how do we define the malacha? Now that we say that mechabes and bleaching, so how do we define the malacha? So the malacha seems to be the improvement of the appearance of a fabric by removing stains, impurities, by cleaning, by bleaching. It's taking a fabric and it's improving its appearance through laundering, through cleaning, through removing any impurities or stains that are in the fabric. I keep saying fabric, and that's going to bring us to our next point of hakdama, and that is something that we're going to need to discuss, is what materials are subject to the isser of malabe. So clearly, it's going to apply to absorbent materials, such as fabrics. And it doesn't only have to be clothing. It could be a couch. It could be a carpet. Anything that absorbs stain or absorbs impurities. So to clean it on Shabbos is an isser d'oraisa of malabim. When it comes to non-absorbent materials, so we're going to have to discuss. If it's something that's really not absorbent, let's say like a piece of china or a piece of wood. Now, wood is a little bit absorbent, but in halacha, it's not viewed as an absorbent, at least for halachos of malabim. So there, the idea is that the impurity is not in the object. It's resting on top of it. So if I have a white shirt and I spill a little bit of ketchup on my shirt, so the ketchup penetrates into the material and it's absorbed. So to remove it when it's absorbed is malabe. But if I get a little piece of ketchup on the side of my glass cup, so that's only on the surface. It hasn't penetrated into the cup. And therefore, to remove it is not going to be malabe. So we're going to have to get into the details. What about leather? What about plastics? But the main distinction here is between when impurities are inside and when impurities are just on the surface. Okay, the last point of the Hakdama is in regards to what are the prohibited actions that we're not allowed to do. What does it mean to clean it? So the basic understanding is that any act that I do that removes the impurities and improves the appearance of the material, even if it doesn't remove it completely, even if it just lightens it, is going to be a problem of malabing. It's actually very interesting. I believe in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he presents it like this. We're going to use slightly more modern language, but anyone who has a washing machine in their house knows that our modern day washing machines basically have three cycles to them. There's the soaking cycle. There's what's referred to as the agitation cycle, where they move all the begadim around. And then there's the spin cycle, which is basically trying to remove the liquid from the fabric, right? You get a fabric wet. Like, let's talk about if you don't have a machine. You wet your shirt because you got a stain. You rub out the stain. And then we, a lot of times, let it air dry. But if you have dirty water inside that you just rubbed it around, you want to squeeze out the fabric in order to get all the dirty water out of it. And that's what we have in our washing machines. We have the soaking cycle, the agitation cycle, and the drying cycle. So, very interestingly, all three of those stages are all going to be the topics we're going to be discussing. We're going to be discussing wetting something, soaking. We're going to be discussing rubbing. And we're going to be discussing wringing out, schita. As we'll see, in certain situations, any of those acts, individually, you'll already be over on the isser of malabing. So we're going to see that by some things, just wetting it, even though normally, though, cleaning process involves wetting and rubbing and squeezing out. But there's sometimes when just wetting, you're already over on the Isur D'oraisa of Malavin. There are going to be sometimes when just rubbing, no water, just rubbing, you're going to be over on the Isur of Malavin. And there are going to be times when squeezing, you didn't put the water in, you didn't rub anything, but you squeeze it out, that's going to be the Isur D'oraisa of Malavin. So the next three shiurim basically are going to focus on each of these three stages. So let's jump right in to kibbutz, to washing something with water, because I think that that's the, when we think, if you ask someone, how do you wash something? The traditional way that somebody washes something is by wetting it, kibbutz, which is the modern day term for laundering. So the principle here is based on a Gemara in Zvachim. Okay, we don't have it on the Makoro sheet. The Gemara in Zvachim teaches, Judas, let me check, maybe we do have it here. No, it's a little bit of a long, involved Gemara, so I imagine it's not here. No, the Gemara in Zvachim is talking about a different halacha completely. Very interesting halacha. It's from Parshas Tzav, so we didn't read it so long ago. The Torah tells us that when you bring a Karban Chatos, so after you're done bringing the Karban Chatos, if any blood spritzed from the Karban and landed on clothing, on an animal, it needs to be, on animal skins, it needs to be cleaned. Question is, why does it need to be cleaned? The Pashtus, the Ramban says, is because the blood of the carbon is not allowed to be brought outside of the Azara. The blood of the Chatas has to remain in the Azara. Now you're going to want to go home after you're done bringing your Chatas. How are you going to walk out with clothing that have blood absorbed in them that's from the Dam Chatas? So the halacha is, it's a pasuk in the Torah, and it's Mishnayos and Tzvachim. The halacha is you need to wash your clothing in order to remove the blood so that you're not going to be over on the Isur of taking blood outside of the Azara. So that's the context of the Gemara. And the Gemara there says that a principle, Shriyaso Zohi Kibuso. Shriya alone, just soaking fabric, is already cleaning it. It's already forbidden on Shabbos because that's already cleaning it. And the idea is that when you have something absorbed in a fabric and you soak it in water, so just the water on the fabric starts to break up the stain that's stuck onto and stuck in to the fabric, and it starts to loosen it up in order so that it removes the stain that's embedded in the fabric. So, for instance, the Gemara there says explicitly that you have a dirty, soiled fabric. Let's say you have a baby diaper that's the old-fashioned diapers, you know, the cloth diapers, and the baby soils the diaper. So you might want to throw it into a bucket of water to sit and soak until after Shabbos. That would be an Isur D'oraisa of Malavin. To put something to soak until after Shabbos is an Isur D'oraisa of Malavin. Why? Because soaking, Shriyaso Zohi Kibuso, that's already enough. You're already accomplishing enough to be considered kibbutz. That's already a problem. It's not only soaking water. The halacha is that even if you add water to a garment, to a fabric, if you add enough water that it's tofeach hamanas dat piach, which means that it's wet enough that if I would touch it and then I would touch something else, I can make that other thing wet. Right? Sometimes you have a little bit of water on something. You touch it. If you then go and touch another garment, that second garment's not going to get wet. But if the first garment is wet enough that when you touch it, you get water on your hands, that if you would touch something else, you would wet something else, that's also going to be a problem of kibbutz. So to wet a garment to that degree is also going to be a problem. Now this principle, again, the principle is very simple. The principle is that wetting something is already considered kibbutz. You don't have to wet it and rub it and squeeze it out. Just wetting it alone is already a problem of kibbutz. So the Gemara there, though, asks a kasha. It's a very long Gemara. It's at least an amud of Gemara over there in Zvachim on Daf Sadi Gimel. But the Gemara there says that you see that sometimes when it comes to skin, leather of an animal, that there is a concept of kibbutz when it comes to ore, when it comes to leather. Where? So first of all, the Mishnah there talks about, as I said, the dam of a chatos. If it gets onto hides of animals, you need to do kibbutz, the Gemara says, to wash it off. Okay, that's one place. We have another place, Pasuk, in the is coming up week's Parsha. We have in Tazria Metzora, the Torah tells us that when there's a negat saras on a kli or, you have to be mechabes. The Chumash uses the word mechabes, kibus, to clean. So what do you see from the Mishnah in Zvachim? What do you see from the Pasuk in Tazria Metzora? You see that the concept of kibus applies to or, applies to leather. Now, if we now import that into Shabbos, that would seemingly mean that on Shabbos, if you would do kibus on leather, and the Gemara established for us, how do you do kibus? Just by wetting something. So if you would wet leather on Shabbos, you should be over on the Issur D'Oraisa of Malabim. But here's the problem. The Gemara says that they were at the house of Rav, and Rav, the great Amora Rav, got his shoes muddy. So when he came home from shul, he ran his shoes under the water in order to clean the mud off of them. So what did he do? He soaked his leather shoes on Shabbos. How can he do that? Kibus. Shriyasu zo kibuso. So the Gemara there says, we obviously have to make a distinction between fabrics and leather. The Gemara says, when it comes to fabrics, just wetting it is already kibus. You're already over on the Isser of Malabim. Wetting a fabric is usser. But when it comes to leather, it's not enough to just wet it because leather is not as absorbent as fabric. And therefore, with leather, in order to accomplish, now when I say accomplish, I mean to be over on the Isser. In order to accomplish kibus on Shabbos, you would need to wet it and do the second stage, which is rubbing it. The Gemara even there makes a distinction between soft leathers and hard leathers. And it says that by soft leathers, you have to wet it and rub it. Hard leathers is a machlokas. You might not ever be over on kibus. So let's just review very quickly. What do we see from the Gemara in Zvachim? That there's a principle called shriyoso zohu kibuso. To get something wet, significantly wet, is an iser of kibus already. It's already malabim, even though all you've done is gotten it wet. That's true when it comes to garments and fabrics. But when it comes to leather, at least soft leather, when it comes to leather, it's not enough to wet it in order to be over on the iser. You would need to wet it and you would need to rub it. And therefore, when the Torah says about saras, that you have to do kibus in order to get the tsaras out, it means you have to wet it and rub it. And when the Gemara talks about a dam chatas, that you have to do kibus on the leather to get the dam chatas out, you have to wet it and rub it. And when the Gemara said that Rav washed his shoes, his leather shoes, obviously what it means is that he only wet it. He didn't also rub it, because to rub it would actually be kibus. Okay, so those are the principles that we learned. So if you look, open up your Mishnah Berurah, we can already, even though we're doing our Hakdamah here, you can really already, we're in Siman Shin Beis, that's the Siman that we're going to be learning. And as I think I've pointed out sort of in passing, but I think it's an important thing to point out, the Shulchan Aruch is very interesting in Hilchos Shabbos. You know, when you read the Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim, he really like lays everything out for you, from A to Z. You know, you start a topic, Hilchos Tzitzis, so he lays it out for you. He goes through the halachos, and you can basically learn through the halachos of Hilchos Tzitzis without having done the Gemaras. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's, you know, you're just like thrown right into it in Hilchos Shabbos in the Shulchan Aruch. If you don't know the Gemaras, if you don't know the background, it's very hard to learn through the Siman. So I very much encourage guys over the next few weeks to go through Siman Shin Beis, because by learning the background, this is your opportunity to really be able to learn Siman Shin Beis. So if you look in Siman Shin Beis, we're in Chelek Gimel of Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah. So in Sif Tes, so he says like this, Mutter litein mayim al gabe minal l'shach shecho. You're allowed to put water on your shoe, l'shach shecho. L'shach shecho is the Gemara's term for cleaning something just with water. Not by rubbing it, just by immersing it. So you're allowed to put water on your shoe, leather shoe, l'shach shecho, in order to clean it with water. Aval l'chabso, but to actually do kibus, dahinu, which means shemeshaf shef tzido zel zeh, to start rubbing it, that's aser. Aval Beged, now we're talking about a garment. Aval beged, sheyeshal of lichluch, but a beged which has some dirt on it, aser afilu l'shachshecho. It's aser to even wet it. Why? Dezehu kibuso. Because that is kibus when it comes to garments, just wetting it. Ella, what can you do? Mekanecho b'smartut b'kal v'lo b'dochak. Without getting it wet, you can use a towel to sort of rub it gently, not hard, but to rub it gently, pen yischot, in order to not, we don't want you to squeeze out the towel that you're using. Okay, so that's where the Shulchan Aruch paskins this chiluk, and the practical application would be that if your shoes get muddy, so you're allowed to run water over your shoes, if they're leather shoes, you know, if they're material shoes, then that's going to be a problem. The Orchos Shabbos even points out, if it's a leather shoe, but it has shoelaces that are made out of fabric, like most shoelaces are, so you have to be careful not to wet those, because that would be a problem of kibbutz. But certainly the soles of our shoes, we'll see, because nowadays a lot of soles nowadays are not leather anymore. But if you had a nice leather shoe, so it would be okay to wet it. What about other materials? Since we're talking about materials, and we've seen the difference now between garments and leather, what about other materials? So first of all, wood, porcelain, things like that, the Mishnah Berurah here in Mem Aleph says, are totally mutter to launder. You're allowed to clean or launder a vessel made out of wood or a vessel made out of some other very hard material that's not absorbent. So for instance, washing dishes. That's why you're allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos. How come washing dishes is not a problem of kibbutz? You're cleaning. The answer is because the dishes are not absorbent. And again, even though in halacha, maybe some of these materials might be absorbent in terms of your idea, but regarding Shabbos, it's specifically garments. And that's why maybe even absorbent isn't the right word, because that makes us think already about like blios. A garment is woven, which means that there's lots of stitches and the impurities are able to settle between the stitches. So the post can even talk about, let's say you get wool, flour on your garment, flour on the garment, as opposed to if you get sugar grains or salt grains, because the salt grains don't get into the garment, as opposed to the flour, which is so small, it gets into the garment itself. So that's what we mean. And certainly when you have a glass dish, a metal dish, a china dish, if you get flour on it, the flour is not getting embedded into the object. And that's why we're allowed to wash dishes. Now, as was pointed out here, Binyamin pointed out, that doesn't necessarily mean you can use a sponge, right? A sponge is more like a fabric, and to get a sponge wet would certainly be a problem. But to clean a dish with, as we'll see, plastic perhaps, would perhaps be okay, as we'll see in a second. But certainly to use your hand to clean it is going to be okay, or that's why some people have Shabbos brushes that have plastic teeth. I don't know exactly what the right term is, but they use a plastic brush, which is going to be non-absorbent. So let me bring that up. Since we're bringing up plastic, let's talk about plastic. So wood we talked about, and dishes we talked about. So what about plastic, nylon, things like that? So what would you say if I asked you what should be the din with plastic? Seems pretty pushy that plastic should be allowed to be washed. It's not absorbent. Now, I don't mean synthetic fibers. If you have synthetic fibers, plastic fibers, and you make a shirt out of it, out of synthetic fibers, there's still going to be absorption between the fibers and a very, very, you know, very thin fibers that make a shirt. But if you're dealing with a solid piece of plastic, the pashtus would be that it's not absorbent. There's no isser to clean plastic. There is a tshuva, though, by Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was asked, this is in Yoredei Chelek Beis, tshuva Ayin Vov. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about plastic tablecloths, and asked about scrubbing plastic tablecloths. And these were tablecloths that were made with, made out of plastic, you know, and he was asked about being able to clean them. So he said that he thought maybe we need to be machmir since plastic was not around the times of Chazal. So we don't really know what Chazal have to say about plastic. We know what they have to say about wood. We know what they have to say about china. We know what they have to say about leather, but we don't know what they have to say about plastic. And therefore, he thought that perhaps it was appropriate to consider plastic like leather. What does that mean by like leather? We're not going to really consider it like a garment, which would mean that it would be usher just to get wet. But we'll consider it like leather, which means you can get it wet, but you can't get it wet and scrub it. That was Rav Moshe's chumrah. The Orach HaShabbos and summarizes many of the modern day poskim, and most of the modern day poskim accepted Rav Moshe's chumrah only to a slight degree. What do I mean by that? They accepted it regarding the area that Rav Moshe said it, which is soft plastics that are malleable and like a tablecloth. So the poskim said that when it comes to something like a plastic tablecloth, we should treat it like ore, which means that you can either clean it with a dry cloth or you can get it wet. But you can't get it wet and scrub it. But any other hard plastic, kalim, are able to be cleaned, and there is no issur of kibbutz. So you shouldn't necessarily rigorously rub it, the poskim say, but when it comes to hard plastic, so plastic plates and plastic cutlery, for sure, plastic toys, things like that that are hard plastic, right? We all know there's the softer plastic, and then they can have a very, very hard plastic. So a very, very hard plastic is like wood, it's like metal. Those are things that you're able to clean. When it comes to the softer plastics, so there we should be machmir. So I see here there was a statement. What was that about ivory? What was that? What do you mean that superficially it should be like ivory?
I don't know about the technical chemical properties of it, but I'm talking about a hard surface, and Chazal had ivory. So you're saying that we don't know how they would have reacted or been about plastic. That was a substance which was somewhat similar.
That's hard plastic you're talking about, but yeah. Not necessarily, right. Oh, okay. Not necessarily the softer plastics that we deal with. Like the, you know, you think of like a kid plays like with a mushy plastic ball, you know, something like that. So there's a little bit more absorbency to something like that. Right. Okay, good. So one of the big places that if we want to talk halacha lemaisa about plastic, one of the topics that the poskim talk about are pacifiers and bottle, like the nipple of a bottle or a pacifier. So here you have something which is softer plastic and something that very regularly gets dirty. Are you able to scrub it and to clean it? So in the Orach HaShabbos, he quotes poskim who are makil to be able to clean pacifiers, bottles, and things like that. And the reason he says is as follows. He says, first of all, the pashtus is that plastic is not absorbent. It's not like a garment, and you should be able to clean it. This is all because of a chumrah of Rav Moshe. Point number one. Point number two, because it's like a kli, he thought that Rav Moshe didn't say it regarding a kli. This is a kli. The number one reason, though, that he says is that your intention is really only to remove any surface dirt. When you clean a pacifier, unlike a garment, where your intention is to get impurities out from the garment itself, from the fabric, here you're just trying to wash off the outside. Okay, is it a little bit absorbent and maybe something's absorbed? Maybe, but that's not anyone's intention. So in the Orach HaShabbos, he's makel to clean all of these things on Shabbos. Again, what do we mean by cleaning it? Meaning you don't have to treat it like leather. You can wet it and you can rub it to clean. Rav Yashav was machmir. Rav Yashav thought that you can run it under a stream of water, but that you shouldn't be rubbing it on Shabbos. One of the other areas that people talk about, very practical, are dishwashing gloves. You know, some people like to put on gloves, plastic gloves, when they do the dishes. So the Orach HaShabbos writes that you can certainly put them on and use them, even though they're constantly getting wet and rubbing, and they're getting dirty all the time and getting cleaned. He said, there again, your intent is not to clean the gloves. That's not why you're doing it. So he thought we could be makel about using them, but he said that when you're done, to sit there rubbing them under the water stream when you're done in order to clean the gloves. You know, I guess some people, you have throwaway gloves, you just peel them off and you throw them in the garbage. But some people, you know, the ones that sort of go up to your elbows, some people have, you know, real plastic gloves that they use repeatedly. So he said that would be a problem to use those and then to rub them under the water in order to clean them. So you can use them, but you would have to wait to clean them until after Shabbos. Now, unless you're thinking like, okay, so I'll just throw them into a bucket in order to soak. So can you soak them? Well, we're talking about plastic. plastic, we said, even if we're being machmir like Rav Moshe, plastic is treated like leather. Leather, you're allowed to soak, you're just not allowed to rub. So if you use the gloves and the gloves are dirty, you can't rub them under a stream of water, but you'd be able to throw them into a bucket of water in order to stay, to keep them moist until after Shabbos when you want to clean them. All right, we're going to talk about one or two more practical things today. One of them is contact lenses. So a very, very interesting application of this discussion. We're going to talk about soft contact lenses. It used to be that people had hard contact lenses. I don't think people really use hard contact lenses so much anymore. Hard contact lenses are much easier. They're hard. And we can treat them like wood and like metal. It's like a hard plastic. And therefore, you'd be able to clean them and even rub them. We're going to talk about soft lenses. Now, soft lenses, I don't know exactly what their makeup is. But the poskim assume that soft lenses are like plastic. And they seem to be made out of some form of something that has a plastic-like consistency to it. Now, anyone who wears contact lenses, anyone here wear contact lenses? I see a lot of glasses on the screen. I don't see any contact lenses. Anyone who wears contact lenses knows that what you're supposed to do is when you're done wearing them, they get, build up on them and dirt. So you're supposed to take them out of your eye. You're supposed to put some cleansing formula into them. You rub the cleansing formula onto the lens. Then you wash it, and then you let it soak in a cleaning solution or saline solution. You let it soak until you're going to use them again. So the question is, are you allowed to do this? Are you allowed to clean them? Are you allowed to let them soak on Shabbos? So let's think about what we know. What would we say is the pashtus? What would we say? If you're the posek, someone says, am I allowed to clean and soak my contact lenses on Shabbos? So the pashtus, we're talking about soft plastic or soft plastic-like material. We should be treating, at least according to Rav Moshe, we should be treating it like leather. And seemingly, we can wet them, we can soak them, but we can't wet them and rub them. That would be the pashtus. And practically, in Halacha, the Orchos Shabbos writes that you are allowed to soak your contact lenses on Shabbos, but you can't clean them by rubbing them because of this tshuva of Rav Moshe. You are allowed to soak them, but he's machmir that you can't soak them in a cleansing solution. You can only soak them, he says, in plain saline solution, but not something that has cleansing agents in it. Why? He says, first of all, soft contact lenses are probably much worse than soft leather. The whole idea of a contact lens is it's supposed to absorb moisture, or else it would dry out on your eye. The whole idea of the contact lens is it's supposed to be absorbent. When they advertise comfortable lenses, they advertise that they're more absorbent. That's the idea of a contact lens. So we're clearly dealing with something which is absorbent, and maybe we should be comparing it in halacha more to a beged than we should be comparing it to regular plastic. That's number one. Number two, if the whole malacha here is to clean it and you're soaking it in a cleansing agent, so it's a little hard to argue that you're not cleaning the thing. You're soaking it in something that's clean. When we talk about being able to soak leather, we're talking about soaking it in water. But like, for instance, to soak it in bleach, that's going to clearly be malabim. So he thought that to start soaking it in, since it's absorbent, in a cleansing agent is a problem. Why is plain saline solution okay? He said, because first of all, the purpose of the saline solution is just to keep it moist. It's not really to clean it. That's number one. And he didn't think that it's literally really penetrating inside and cleaning it. So in the Orchos Shabbos, he writes, you're allowed to soak them, but only in plain saline solution. However, there are poskim, for instance, in the Makoro sheet here, they put on from the Sefer Ora Shabbos, of Singler. So he writes there that you can even soak it. He's makel to even soak it in a cleansing solution. And he has a very interesting svara. He says that as long as the contact lens is not visibly dirty, so to soak it in a cleansing agent that cleans it in a way that's not perceptible to the naked eye is not identified in halacha as cleaning. Cleaning in halacha is when you have a stain and you clean it, and now the stain is gone or the stain is lightened. But when you look at a contact lens, you can't look at a contact lens and say, wow, that's a really dirty contact lens. I mean, if it is, then he would have a problem with you cleaning it. But if we're talking about a regular contact lens that you just wore today, the grime is not visible, or whatever's on it that makes your eye uncomfortable if you haven't cleaned it is not visible. And the cleaning of the cleansing agent is also not a visible cleaning. And therefore, he thought that there was room to be makel. And he writes that he spoke to Rav Sternbuch about it, and Rav Sternbuch agreed with him. So, you know, you can, if you wear contact lenses, so, you know, you might want to ask your local posek about what the accepted practice is in your community. But as we see that there are different ways to go in terms of contact lens. And the whole question really hinges on our sugya of how to look at cleaning. The last thing that I'll just mention is another tshuva from Rav Moshe, and here Rav Moshe's makel, and this is regarding paper towels and napkins. So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, he was asked, does malabin apply to these things? Meaning, can you wet paper towels and napkins? And he said that he thought that since these are things that are ruined when they get wet, what do I mean by they're ruined? Meaning, when you get it wet, that's when it's time to throw it away. That's when you're done using it. And if you get a towel wet, so we could theoretically look at the wetting of the towel as cleaning the towel. If you take a towel and you put it into a bucket of water, it's cleaning the towel. It's a problem. Shriya also is o kibuso. But to take a paper towel and put it in water, so a paper towel in water ruins the paper towel. No one cleans their paper towels. Paper towels are throwaway. And he thought that therefore it wasn't a problem. There's no problem with malabane. He still writes that when you're cleaning something, it's better to put the water on the surface and then use the paper towel onto the surface as opposed to wetting the paper towel. But it doesn't apply by a paper towel and napkins. So just to summarize and to conclude for today, so what we saw after our going through our introduction about the malacha of malabin, we saw that the first form of being over on malabin is kibus, is cleaning with water. When it comes to cleaning with water, we have the principle from the Gemara that just wetting a fabric is already cleaning it. You don't need to go through the whole process of wetting and rubbing, and just wetting is already considered cleaning. But when it comes to leather, so leather, because it's less absorbent, leather requires not only watering, getting it wet, but also rubbing in order to be over on the Isser of Malabin. When it comes to wood and metal and china, there's no Isser of Malabin, and that's why you're allowed to clean your dishes. And when it comes to plastic, the pashtus is that plastic should be considered like wood and metal. But Rav Moshe was makel, and we accept Rav Moshe's chumra when it comes to soft plastic, which means that soft plastic is subject to malabin, but only if you wet it and rub it. Wetting it is not enough. And paper towels and disposable things is not subject to the isser of malabin. So I think that we've basically covered the types of materials that are subject to malabin. We're going to have to discuss, just to finish up this section, we'll have to discuss it next week, Amir Tzashem. There are going to be a few exceptions to this. The famous question everybody asks is, after I wash my hands on Shabbos, how am I able to dry them on a towel? I'm getting a towel wet. Getting a fabric wet is an issur of malabin. So we're going to need to discuss how a person can dry their hands on a towel. Isn't that going to be a problem of malabin? So that's what we need to finish up with tomorrow, next week. And then, Amir Tzashem, we're going to start talking about the second form of malabin, and that's cleaning something without liquid.